Chaz Palminteri was an unemployed nightclub bouncer when he wrote a one-man show called A Bronx Tale, which debuted in Los Angeles in 1989. A movie version was made 4 years later, but with Robert De Niro as Mr. Palminteri's father. Mr. Palminteri played a supporting role. We spoke with Chaz Palminteri just before he took the stage again this past Wednesday night. He seemed subdued, saving his energy for the audience and the critics, because almost 20 years later, Chaz Palminteri has brought his show to Broadway. Story about a young man growing up at East 187th Street and Belmont Avenue, surrounded by a hardworking father, a neighborhood boss who takes a shine to him, and a supporting cast of wise guys.
Frankie Coffee Cake. They called him Coffee Cake because he had this bad case of acne, and his face looked like a Drake's coffee cake. I mean, Frankie was tough to look at. And Jimmy 10 to 2. They called him 10 to 2 because when he walked, his feet were always like the clock, like 10 to 2. Years later, he got shot in the leg and they called him 20 after.
Thanks very much for speaking with us right before you go on. Semi-autobiographical. Can you tell without dispelling the magic what part is semi?
Well, obviously the killing. I was a young boy and I saw this man kill a man right in front of me. And my father dragged me upstairs. In real life, what happened was when that happened, I never went down to face the lineup. I wrote that in there to embellish, to put the bond, me and the gangster together. But when the cops came up, my father just said, no, he didn't see nothing and he ain't going down. And I was like, I didn't see none of that, which, you know, that's what you do when you grow up in a neighborhood like that. And my father was a bus driver and he used to keep me off the street. And there was all the wise guys always there on the corner, and I got to know them, and I used to throw the dice for them when I was a little kid. And a few of them I befriended, a bunch of them I befriended. My dad always just was worried about, you know, me going maybe that way. I was enamored by these guys when I was young. But, you know, my old father used to say, you know, it doesn't take strength to pull a trigger, but try to get up in the morning and go to work for a living. That takes guts. And he was right, you know, he was really right. And I had a relationship with a black girl when I was like 17. So those are some of the key events in my life. Some of the guys that I knew died in this racial attack. So I kind of like put all the events together. But the main crust of it was I wanted to talk about the working man and about what my dad instilled in me, that the saddest thing in life is wasted talent, not to waste your life.
Hard autobiographical fact. How much money were you down to when you wrote this script?
At the end, about 187 bucks.
Wow. And and you were offered hundreds of thousands of dollars for it, but held out.
I held out. I was offered $1 million. It got up high as $1 million. That's correct.
And you held out?
I said no. Well, at first I said, well, I'll do it if you make me Sonny and I write the screenplay. And
Sonny is
the main character, yeah. One of the main characters. And they said, as good as you are and you're terrific, you're not known. We need a star in that role. We cannot make a movie without a star in that role. And I said, well, then you're not going to make this movie.
And, of course, Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro saw it, and he came backstage, and I'll never forget it, and he said, look, I think you'd be great in this. You could write the screenplay because you know it better than anyone. And I'll play Lorenzo, your father, and I'll direct it. And that's the way it will be if you shake my hand. And that's the way it was.
What are some of the differences you notice between playing the role now and when you played it in the 1980s?
I wasn't married. I was single. And I didn't have a wife. I didn't have children. I just think now it's just better because before I used to relate to from son to father. As the actor. Now I relate to father the son as the actor because I have a son who's 12 and a daughter who's 6. So I try to instill the values that my father instilled in me.
How many characters do you play on stage?
18.
And sometimes they're as involved as the character of Sonny and your father, and sometimes they're just a grimace?
Yeah, sometimes there's 5 people talking at once. Sometimes in the crap game there's loads of people talking. Yeah. Sonny, the boy, Frankie Coffee Cake, Eddie Mush, Jojo the Whale, Rudy Ice.
The first time I threw the dice, I didn't even hit the back wall. And the ruling dice is, at least one of the dice have got to touch the back wall or it's no toss. And they all started laughing at me. Hey, Sonny! Sonny! Your little provolone, he's got an arm like a wet noodle, Sonny. Ah. Hey, Sonny, you think I'm a loser? You should look at this. Hey, you better watch that kid, Sonny. You ain't gonna everybody shut up. This kid's a winner, this kid. Give me those dice. Give me those dice. Come on, baby. You can do it. Let's put some money down. We put some real money. Real money. Jojo, Jojo, you're breathing all over me. You want to back up, Jojo? Back up. Come on. Back up. Just back up over there. Come on, kid. We're going to do it. Put some money down, baby. Give me a seven. Give me a... No! Hey! No good. Eddie Mush. No good. I don't want your money touching my money. Eddie Mush, I don't want your money in the same neighborhood as my money.
The play is much funnier than the movie because I was able to do... take it a little farther as far as humor goes in the play. Where I really want young people to see is that is the thing that my father instilled in me. And I think fathers... could take their children, sons or daughters, to see this 12 and up, about instilling them that the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. My father used to tell me that all the time. He wrote it on a little index card and he put it in my room, and I never forgot it. And it's that card that I think that I carried with me all my life that made me finally, you know, make it as an adult, you know. And I was working as an actor and I ran out of money again, as all actors do. And I took a job as a doorman, and I got fired after about 4 months because...
Now, when you say doorman, I've read that it was a bouncer.
Yeah, well, I was a bouncer, but in this one club, I was the doorman. But this was in 86, and I was the bouncer doorman. Yeah, that's a glorified name for that, I guess. And I went and let this man in to a party, and that man was Swifty Lazar, and it was his party.
Big literary agent.
Why wouldn't you let him in?
I didn't know it was him. I didn't recognize him. Yeah. I just said, wait a minute. And he kept, I'll get you fired. And I go, yeah, I hear that every day. I go, please, get online. And 15 minutes later, I was fired. I just said, what the hell am I going to do? And I was going to come back to New York. And then I said, I saw my father's card pinned in my mirror in my room, my apartment in L.A. And I said, you know what? If they won't give me a great part, I said, I'll write one myself. And I jumped in my car and I went to Thrifty Drugstore on Ventura Boulevard and I got 5 tabs of legal size yellow paper. Mm-hmm. I came back and I said, well, I'll write a one-man show. This way they got to notice me. And I started writing and I wrote about the killing. And I would perform it at my theater workshop on Monday nights. And each week I would write more and more and more, then perform it each Monday night. And at the end of like 10, 11 months, I had an hour and a half of my one-man show.
Young actors must come to you knowing your story.
Yeah, all the time.
Or maybe let me put it this way, young people who want to be actors.
Yeah.
Want to be in the theater. What do you tell them?
I always tell them, I go, look, don't think this thing just happened like a fluke here. You know, I spent almost a year writing this and rehearsing it. I said, this was hard work. That if you really want to make it, you got to turn up the volume in your life. You want a break? You got to go make a break. When you knock on the right door at the right time, no. It's the one who knocks on all the doors all the time. That's the one who makes it. You know, that's what I say.
Your father's still
My father's still alive, yeah.
And I'm assuming you saw the show 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And now?
He's going to come and see it again, yeah.
And how did he feel in the 80s?
Oh, my God. He was blown away when he saw it.
Just based on your past experience, when your father's in the audience.
Yeah.
Does that add an extra...
I got to keep it together. Yeah, I mean, I have to totally block it out. Because some of those scenes I can really well up and get too emotional. Because if I know he's there. Yeah, but I'm okay. I don't know, I haven't done it in 20 years in front of him. I'll see how it is, I don't know.
And that sign your father made, or the piece of paper he wrote out so many years ago.
Right.
That says, what are
the saddest thing in life is wasted talent. It's in my son's room now. And I told him when he gets older to give it to his son.
Mr. Palminteri, good luck tonight.
Well, thanks very much. Appreciate it. It was nice.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can download a podcast of several features from our show by coming to our website, npr.org. That was Chaz Palminteri, and this is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.